أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 30 of Surah Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. When your Lord said to the angels, indeed I'm going to set a viceroy on the earth, they said, will you set in it someone who will cause corruption in it and shed blood while we celebrate your praise and proclaim your sanctity? He said, indeed, I know what you do not know. Now, this verse is a sort of compact and very summarized version of something which happened before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this very summarized in a way that it has become like a sort of mystery. Why these things happened, how it happened, why Allah informed the angels, why the angels questioned God, and who was this Khalifa. These are all the things that are just in a very compact way mentioned, just notified us in this verse. But the explanation has not been given in details. Now, there are several questions here, as we mentioned last week. First of all, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, when your Lord said to the angels, who these angels were? Were they generally the whole angels in the world, in the creation? Or there were specific angels? Now, I mentioned both Sunni and Shi'i view in this, and we see that there is no unified opinion. I mean, people have different opinions about who these angels were. First of all, the Sunni view, I quoted from Fakhruddin Razi. He says that the scholars have disagreed about who these angels were. When Allah said, "Inni إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةِ, were they all the angels or they were specific angels? And he says that from Zahaq, from Ibn Abbas, we have that, no, these were not the whole angels. These were the angels who had come to earth to fight against those who were living on the earth, causing corruption. And from Ibn Abbas is that they were jinn living on earth before human beings. As the Quran also says, well, jinn khalaqnahum min qabl min marasam. Before human beings, we had created jinn. And the jinn, of course, we know that the abode of jinn is on the earth. So they were living on the earth. They were actually causing lots of corruption. And Iblis was one of them. However, Iblis was not a bad jinn, so to speak. So the angels came and helped Iblis with the, of course, company of Iblis. They cleared the earth from those jinn. And these jinn were the ones that afsadu fiha wa safakud dama, they were shedding blood. Now, shedding blood about jinn is very difficult to understand, as this hadith mentions that they were killing each other. However, there should have been others on the earth who were not jinn and being killed by the jinn, something like that. But this hadith from Ibn Abbas does not mention anything about this. And then after that, they, of course, went to the heavens, these angels who came to the earth to purify the earth. And Iblis went up with them. And Iblis was with them for several thousand years, worshipping God, to the extent that angels thought that Iblis is an angel too. And then the creation of Adam happened and the statement of Allah, and then Iblis, of course, disobeyed, and everyone realized that he was not an angel. This is what these traditions mention. So this is one viewpoint in the Sunni works, Sunni books, that these malaika were not all the angels. They were angels who had come to the earth to purify the earth from its inhabitants who were shedding blood and doing lots of injustice. It appears that both Sunni and Shi'i traditions mention that before human being on the earth, there were other creatures, whether half humans or jinn or any other thing, who were living there for a long time. And they were actually living in a very savage way and shedding blood, causing corruption. And the angels came to clear the earth from them. And after that, Allah said, I want to place a khalifa on the earth. This is one view. The other view, which Fakhr Razi says, that قال الأكثرون من الصحابة والتابعين, the majority of the companions and the successors of the companion say that it is قال ذلك لجماعة ملائكة من غير تخصيص, it was to all the angels. So we have two views here in the Sunni books. One is that these angels were particular angels. The other is that it was a general call to all angels. Now, the Shi'is here have three views. I just mentioned the representative of these three views. One is Faiz Kashani, the other is Sheikh Tusi, and the other is Allama Tabatabai. These have three different views about this. Faiz Kashani, as it appears from what he reports in Tafsir Safi, he believes that these angels were earthly angels, angels who came to earth to cleanse the earth from corruption, and then went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, he mentions several traditions in that. His view is mentioned first, and then he mentions the traditions in that regard. He says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ, when your Lord said to the angels, then he explains who these angels were. أَلَّذِينَ كَانُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا إِبْلِيسِ, those who were on the earth with Iblis, وَقَدْ تَرَدُوا أَنْهَا الْجِنِّ بَنِ الْجَانِ وَخَفَّفَتَ الْعِبَادَةِ or خُفَّفَتَ الْعِبَادَةِ, as he explains, both readings are correct. He says that these were the angels who came with Iblis to the earth and then purified the earth from jinn who were Bani al-Jan, the offspring of Jan, as Allah says, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَدْ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ, when they had actually خَفَّفَتْ الْعِبَادَةِ, means they disregarded worship of Allah. They started to disobey God. And he mentions a hadith from Tafsir Qummi, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says, Iblis was among the angels, and he was worshipping God in the heavens, and the angels thought that he was one of them, but he wasn't. And then when did they realize that he wasn't, the hadith says the story, that before Adam, there were creatures on the earth, and Iblis was their leader. But they started to mischief, to corrupt the earth, not Iblis himself, but those who were on the earth. And the angels came, they actually took Iblis to heavens and purified the earth from those previous creatures. And these previous creatures are mentioned as jinn and nasnas. As I said, nasnas are half human, were half human. And the traditions say that before this happened, there was no sort of barrier of vision or socialization or communication between jinn and these nasnas. They could see each other and they could socialize with each other. They fought with each other. Some of these myths which we have, like for example, human beings seeking the help of jinn to fight other creatures, are all coming from this sort of understanding that before human beings living on the earth, there were such a thing. And the tradition say that after this happened, Allah made a hijab between jinn and other creatures. So the jinn were veiled. They could not do things on the earth with free hand. And so this is the view of Faiz Kashani. He mentions that we have numerous reports about this, that these Nasnas were living on the earth, jinn were living on the earth, thousands and thousands of years. As I mentioned last time, some of the scientific speculations, because I really don't regard all these sort of stories about Neanderthals and Homo sapiens and things to be scientific findings. They are speculations. They're based on very little evidence. They are making big theories about it, that Homo sapiens destroyed Neanderthals and then they became the inhabitants of the earth. These scientific speculations are very much in line with these traditions that we have, actually. That yes, there were half-human creatures on the earth, how they were created, whether they were, so to speak, a product of a process of evolution, or whether they had come about just in the same way that Allah had created Adam. We don't know. But the history of earth before human being is very unclear for us, what's happening, who was on it. We know about, say, for example, dinosaurs and why we have different theories about why they were destroyed and disappeared from the face of Earth. But apparently all these happened before dinosaurs, before all these things that we know about that sort of creatures. Because the timeline which is mentioned in some of these traditions are so long and so past in the history that we don't know anything about it anyhow. So this is one view. Now, Sheikh Tusi, rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh Tusi, of course, was aware of all these traditions, but he somehow disregards them completely and mentions that this Iblis was an angel. You know that this, we had discussed this before, that he is very adamant that Iblis was an angel and angels can fall, angels can disobey God. It is not necessarily the case that if a creature is an angel, cannot disobey, does not. He believes that angels have free will, following his Sheikh Mufid, who has mentioned this in Awal al-Maghalat, that angels have free will and they can fall, they can sin. It is possible. And so he believes, when he says Iblis was an angel, it means that he disregards all these traditions. However, when he discusses this verse, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسَدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, he says, رُوِيَ, it is reported. He's not very much inclined towards these traditions. It is reported that there was a خَلْقًا, there was a sort of creatures living on the earth. He doesn't say they were jinn. He says, يُقَالُ لَهُمْ الْجَانِ, they were called jinn. Now, what sort of creatures they were, whether they were human-like or they were jinn or whatever, he doesn't say this. The traditions say this, that they were a sort of creature living on the earth, like human beings, with free will, with desires, with civilization, culture, battles, fighting, all these things that they had. They were called jinn. وَكَانُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَأَفْسَدُوا وَسَفَكُوا الدِّمَاءَ. They were on the earth. They corrupted the earth, they shed blood, and when it says shed blood, means they were not jinn, so to speak, because blood is for animals or for human being or something like that. So, and فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَلَائِكَةً أَجَلَّتْهُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, Allah sent angels to just destroy them and remove them from the earth. Just like the destruction that angels bring to certain civilizations. So for example, Jibreel came and destroyed the civilization of Lot or Thamud or Ad. These people or these creatures were also destroyed completely. And after that, قيل إن هؤلاء الملائكة كانوا سكان الأرض بعد الجان. It is said. You see, the way he mentioned that he does not believe in it. It is reported. It is said that after those creatures, whom we don't know how long ago they were living on the earth, and how long did they live on the earth, thousands and thousands of years, then these angels lived on the earth. So they didn't go back to heaven. They lived on the earth, not as earthly creatures, but they were here. فقالوا يا ربنا, when Allah said that إني جائل في الأرض خليفة, قالوا يا ربنا أتجعل في الأرض من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء. Do you want to place a Khalifa who sheds blood and makes corruption on the earth? Not to object, but they wanted to know. It was استخبار. It was not استنكار, that why you do it. They just wanted to know, how is this possible after those creatures were removed, after those vicious creatures who shed blood. Now Allah says that I want to place one of them as my Khalifa on the earth. So this is the view of Sheikh Tusi. As I said, he says that it is reported. He doesn't make any judgment here. We know that Sheikh Tusi was not in his tabian, was not very much inclined towards reporting tafasir from Qummi or Ayyashi. Probably he didn't rely much on those tafasir. He reports only one or two hadiths from Qummi. He never mentions Ayyashi in his tafsir. And while, for example, he mentions 650 times Tabari and brings his ahadith, meaning that he was relying more on those lines of traditions from Tabi'un and companions rather than the traditions of Qummi and Ayyashi. And this shows the difference between the way the Shia scholars actually looked at things. Now, Al-Mizan gives a completely different view. First of all, he actually lists all these traditions at the end of his discussion. However, he completely gives a different interpretation to them. Either he completely disregards them or he completely gives a different interpretation to them. And that different interpretation is that, first of all, when Allah says, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa," why angels, the angels who were on the earth, why they thought that it's not them? Because it means ja'ilun min al-ard khalifa, something which is earthly, someone who's earthly, not a heavenly creature like you. I'm putting an earthly creature as my khalifa. Now, when they say qalu ataj'alu fiha man yufsitu fiha wa yasfiku ad-dama, how did they know? Now, Allama Tawatawai says that if they are actually making an analogy between this new creature, and the ones who were on the earth several thousand years ago and were destroyed, this is a qiyas, and angels never use analogy. If for us analogy is not allowed to do, especially in fiqh, we know that analogy is something reprehensible, angels doing such an analogy without having any knowledge, it is not correct. So it's not a sort of view to the past, that because in the past the earthly creatures were shedding blood, now this Khalifa you put would shed blood as well. So he completely rejects the idea that the angels were having a view towards the past, that the earthly creatures were shedding blood. He says that, what is Khalifa? Khalifa is someone who could represent someone else. There is a long discussion in the meaning of Khalifa. What did Allah mean by Khalifa? The Khalifa is someone who could represent, and representing means that who could manifest the Asma of Allah. And they said, and they thought, this was due to their knowledge, an earthly creature which is composed of different materials and therefore has different desires, it would lead it to shedding blood and corruption. Corruption is part of the earthly life. We see everything corrupts, isn't it? So corruption is part of earthly life. So if you are putting Khalifatan min al-Ars, some earthly creature as your Khalifa, then it leads to corruption. And if you want someone to manifest your names, to manifest your asma, then نحن نقدس بحمدك ونسبح لك. We are the ones who are doing it. So what type of creature you are going to create who could represent you on the earth? Now, what Allah said, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know something that you do not know. Now, I know something you do not know doesn't mean that, for example, this Adam is going to be different from the previous creatures. No. I know something of this Adam. He didn't say this Adam and his children are not going to shed blood, are not going to corrupt the earth, as we are doing, isn't it? We are shedding blood, we are corrupting the earth. So the angels were right that if you create someone from the earth with the earthly desires, corruption and shedding blood is part of it. So how is that going to represent you as a Khalifa? Allah says, I know something you don't know which would compensate for that. This is the important thing that Allah says. It doesn't mean that human beings do not shed blood, do not make corruption on this. They do. However, Allah said, there is something in this Khalifa that I'm putting on the earth which compensates for all the corruption, all the bloodshed, all the evil that they do, that eventually what comes out of it is much greater than all these different things that you are alluding to. So you don't know that you cannot be my Khalifa. If you could, I would have placed you as my Khalifa. But you don't know something that you are actually mentioning such a thing. So if we just come back to the verse, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ, whoever these malaika were, إِنِّي جَعَلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Now, in Surah Sa'd, we have one verse about angels who are not earthly. And this is Malaw Al-A'la. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ. Say, I'm just a warner. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما العزيز الجبار قل هو نبأ عظيم أنتم أنه معرضون. There's a great news that I'm giving you and you are turning away. ما كان لي من علم بالملأ الأعلى إذ يختصمون إذ قال ربك للملائكة إني خالق بشرا من طين. When Allah said I'm creating a bashar from the earth, from the earth, and angels were told to prostrate, Mala'ul A'la, the higher angels, were actually disputing amongst themselves. They didn't know what is happening. So that verse mentions about different type of angels, but it doesn't negate the idea that yes, when Allah addressed the angels who were earth on the earth, that a Khalifa is going to be from them. And they said, نَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ بَحَمْدِكَ. If you want a Khalifa, we are the best to be, not out of arrogance or self-deceit or something. Just they were questioning, asking. We are actually manifesting your names by taqdis and tasbih. So what you want from this Khalifa to do? The angels in Mala'ul A'la, like Jibreel and Mikael and others, they were also questioning amongst themselves, not asking God, amongst themselves, what is happening? Why Allah, for example, is saying this? Not as a disobedience or anything like that, or rejection, just asking what is happening on the earth? Who is going to be this Khalifa who is actually excelling the angels and getting beyond the angels in his capabilities? So that verse does not deny that the angels were a particular type of angels who were addressed. So, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And they said, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسَدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. So these angels should have had some connection to the earth. And as I said, Allama says that they were not actually making an analogy between this new creation and the old creatures who were on the earth, just thinking that anything created from the earth is going to lead into such a thing. And we can, we are actually praising you. We are glorifying you. And in this praise and glorification is manifestation of your names. I know something you do not know. This is even more strange. What is that thing that angels don't know? Angels know many things, many, many things they know. You cannot imagine how knowledgeable and intelligent these angels are. What is that thing that angels know? Now, Allah mentions this in the following verse. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ أَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He taught all the names to Adam. And then he told to the angels that he then presented them to the angels and said, tell me the names of these if you are truthful. Now, this Asma is what made this knowledge of Asma. Knowledge of Asma is what made Adam to be higher than angels. Not only Adam, whoever is actually procreated from Adam, who has the potential. What we say is that every human being has the potential of knowing this Asma. Not that everyone knows it. Every human being has the potential to know this Asma. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam all the names. ثُمَّ أَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Then he presented them to the angels. Now, the angels were bewildered. There is something that we don't know at all. There was something in this universe, in this creation of Allah, that we did not know at all, completely out of their scope of knowledge was that. And the reason was that they could not know it. Not that Allah did not want to teach them. They could not know this Asma. And even after Adam actually informed them, they did not learn it. They just understood that Adam has a knowledge which goes beyond their knowledge. فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Now, if you are truthful, that you can manifest my names, you say that نَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُسَبِّحُ لَكَ. You say that we are glorifying you, giving you praise, purification of all blemish. Now, you tell me if you can present. You say that we can be your representative, your khalifa. If you are truthful that you can be my khalifa, this is a process of teaching. The angels are learning that they cannot be khalifa. Not that it's something which Allah is actually trying to defeat them in the argument. No. The angels are learning that they cannot be khalifa. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Then presented them to angels and said, if you are truthful that you can be my khalifa, then tell me what are these names. And then قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا إِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. No, we don't know anything. You have taught us certain things. We don't know beyond it. And then the conversation continues. So what are these asma? The most important thing is that what are these asma which makes Adam and his progeny, including the A'imma alayhi wasalam, because we have in many traditions that these were the asma of A'imma alayhi wasalam, but you have to bear in mind, these asma includes them as well, the knowledge, the potential includes them. They also have this knowledge of asma. So what are these asma which makes Adam distinct from other creatures? Why others cannot? Why the angels cannot have this knowledge? Inshallah, we'll discuss this next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Thank you, Martin Vidcek. Very short and sweet, but a little confusing. And so we start with the open floor, 15-20 minutes. Whoever is ready, either brothers or sisters, anybody volunteering? Yep.
Assalamu alaikum. Between the two opinions of the scholar Sunni and Shia, the Sheikh Tusi and the other scholar, which one you think is the most accurate from the theory of the beginning? If it's the creatures live much behind the dinosaur era, or the Sheikh Tusi? Speak about also about Shaitan being an angel.
Mm-hmm. Which one? Well, this is one of the things that we really cannot establish a firm view about, because there are opposing views, opposing arguments from both sides. I mean, Sheikh Tusi, when he brings arguments about Iblis being an angel, he actually brings all the verses of the Quran and deals with them one by one. The others as well, they do the same thing. But I think the argument of those who say Iblis was a jinn is both more convincing from Quranic verses and more convincing from traditions, because many traditions, they say that Iblis was not an angel and he was a jinn.
But also is one ayah in the Quran saying, which say that angels and spirit will stand row by row in the day of judgment.
Yes.
So will be the angels will be judged also for what they do.
The angels will be judged. This is actually the...
So it's some theory of Sheikh Tusi.
Yes. As I said, this is taken from his Sheikh Mufid as well. In his theological book, Sheikh Mufid says that we believe that the angels are mukallafun, maw'udun wa muwa'adun. The angels have taklif like us, they have free will. They are promised reward and they are warned of punishment. So it is possible. This is their view. This is their view. However, this doesn't say whether Iblis was an angel or not, but it says that angels can actually fall and can commit sin. Yeah.
Thank you.
Riaz?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaykum assalam.
Something I picked up when you said the three names of the tafasir that you're reading, is it possible that they're only from one particular part of the world? Because what I'm trying to find out is, do they actually talk about these things in the world-renowned universities? Maybe they did at the time more, like Cairo, where they have, you know, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah would discuss something like this. Or is the difference between Shias and Sunnis so basic as to they never question anything? They just take it by the word of the book.
As I said, the Sunnis have two views here. And these views come from the companions of the Prophet, actually. So since the time of companions of the Prophet, there were these views, these diversity of views. And Fakhr al-Razi reports from Rahaq, from Ibn Abbas, that these are about angels who actually remove the jinn from the earth or remove nasnas from the earth. And he says the majority of companions, they believe, no, this is a general address to all angels. Now, with regards to Shia scholars, again, because there are lots of traditions in the same way as we have in Sunni, that they were particular type of angels who were connected to the earth. We have these views, but as I said, the way Allama Tabatabai explains it, he says that they do not contradict with what I say in terms of, for example, the questions, khilafah, such things. And maybe the traditions have simplified things for the people to understand, but we have to go deeper than that. Now, what Sheikh Tusi does is that Sheikh, as against to Feyza Kashani, you know, Sheikh Tusi lived in 5th century and Feyza Kashani lived in 11th century. Feyza Kashani was more Akhbari. Sheikh Tusi was not Akhbari as we know it. So what Feyza Kashani accepts all traditions at face value. Sheikh Tusi says that it is reported. I do not very much rely on that.
Thanks. Any sisters? Any brothers? Yeah, bismillah.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Just a question on the way the angels clean the earth. Was it by natural process in terms of the winds, the floods?
Yeah, certainly. Similar. This is how it happens. Okay. This is how always we know that, for example, the angels came to destroy Sodom, and it was a volcano, for example, earthquake and volcano. Or the angels destroyed art, it was a cold wind blowing and destroying everything. So it's always like that.
Any sisters? Brothers? So Sheikh, is there a consensus amongst ulema that before Homo sapiens, the human beings, there were human-like creatures, were there?
As I said, we have many traditions in that regard. Consensus, there's no consensus among scientists even, you see.
No, but human-like creatures have whatever form they were.
As I said, there are lots of traditions. Sheikh Tusi says it is reported, it is said, meaning that...
Did they receive the guidance from Allah?
The previous...
Yeah, those creatures, did they receive guidance?
Apparently, otherwise they wouldn't have been destroyed, you know?
Yeah, that's why my question is...
Yeah, apparently they were very vicious, and they didn't have, of course, the distinct quality of Adam, of knowing Asma. They were not Khalifatullah on earth. And some people have said that إِنِّي جَعْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً means I am going to replace them with someone else, which is human being. But Allama Tabatabi rejects this. He says that this is not the case. Because they were destroyed, okay? Now, who is going to be on the earth again? Allah says, I am putting a khalifa for them. Means someone who comes after them. A successor for them. Not successor for me. Not a khalifa for me. A khalifa for them. Because khalifa means someone who comes after another as well. Okay? Like, for example, هو الذي جعلكم خلائف في الأرض. He made you coming after previous generations. Apparently, yes, they had. Otherwise, if they were like animals, they wouldn't have been destroyed like that.
So we don't know anything about who their guides were, how they were guided.
Prophets or such things, okay, apparently. Fine. Maybe they were more like animals. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it's very, very old sort of history. Maybe through our science, we may find certain things later on, inshallah.
Well, whose science? Our Muslim science or the science? When we say science
is science. We don't have Muslim or Christian science. Science is science.
Well, our Muslim scientists are all sort of asleep at the moment. But anyway, any ladies to further the discussion?
Because it's early Sunday, you know that.
Yeah, bless me.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
You mentioned that when the angels said that Allah is creating Adam from the worldly components, and one of the characteristic of the worldly components is that it has the evil component part of it, and based on that they said that they will create mischief on the earth. Now, when the man is created, so in their characteristic, the evil and the good is there. And when Shaitan said that I will sort of misguide them, and so is this the knowledge of Shaitan that this component is there in the man and he will work on this and misguide them? Is this something?
Yes, apparently he had quite good knowledge about the characteristics of this new creature. And by the way, we see the angels were right, isn't it? I mean, we are causing corruption, we are shedding blood. all these things. As I said, Allah didn't say that they don't. Allah said that they don't. He just said that there is something that you don't know about this creature, which will compensate for all that bloodshed and corruption and such things. And what is that thing? What that thing is that amongst, of course, all these corrupt people who come and cause bloodshed, there are billions and billions who are attracted towards the spiritual life, who go towards God, who go towards paradise, who know that, who will learn the Asma later on, or some of them even on this earth learn about the Asma. So that would compensate for it. Did Shaitan know that? Just like the angels, they knew that this is going to lead to greed, this is going to lead to competition, this is going to lead to fighting for resources, isn't it? So Iblis knew the same thing as well.
No, what I'm trying to understand is that Iblis, when he claimed that I will do this, he used this knowledge and challenge, then said that this is what I'm going to do. Like the God said, I will guide them, and on the other side, the Iblis said, I will misguide them.
Yeah, that's right. He knew, yeah. Actually, Iblis had great knowledge about us, isn't it? He knew that we are going to die, we are going to be resurrected. قَالَ أَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Give me respite until the day you resurrect them. So it means that he knew. He knew that Adam would have children. These children would die. Then there will come a day of judgment. And this shows that this day of judgment was something that angels were aware of even before the creation of Adam. Because it's not something only for human beings. It's for every, for jinn, for angels, for everything. So they knew that there is a day of judgment, there is a resurrection. And they knew that this creature is also going to be resurrected because he has free will and this knowledge is very important. So they knew lots of things about us, including Iblis, yeah.
Thank you, sisters. No, Riyadh?
Sheikh, I'd like to be Darwin just for a minute and see if I can summarize. So all these creatures came, they killed each other just for food. None of them actually created facad in the earth in terms of having gangs of people killing each other.
Well, if we stop here, why you say just for food? Why not just for greed, for example?
This is where I'm coming to. The selective breeding program is put forward by Darwin is whatever that species needs to do in order to survive. They will evolve into that particular type. They'll develop wings, some animals will develop feet for survival purposes. They have to go back into the sea so they have scales so they don't die very quickly. The only thing is, what I can see from here as Darwin, what happened, all these animals came and they got disappeared, no problem, nobody cries for them, grieves for them, maybe they were there, they become mountains, doesn't matter. Where we are now, the difference that I can see, if I may just present this idea, tell me what you think about it. When God introduced brains, selective, the human being can select his own actions. An animal cannot do that. Animal is only there to survive to the next progeny, as such, the next, the next in kin, next in line. But human beings think further. So there are two new things introduced here. One was the heart, which started loving their own children and wanting more for their children than other children. This is where creation of facade is from. Obviously, it's an obvious thing. It's a natural progression. We don't have a problem with that. So if you take away the heart and the brain from the human being, he reverts back to an animal. See, so now you have, what we are saying here is that God has given this human being all these powers bigger than ever given before on earth. So it's little wonder that the farishta, they said, and the jinns, they said, hang on a second, you're going into the unknown here. It's never happened on this earth before. And look at it now, maybe a few thousand years later, human beings have actually got the capacity to blow up this world. None of the animals before had that. So the facade is created by introducing the brain and the heart into a species. Mm-hmm. So as I said, I'm Darwin and I'm putting forward this theory
that and if I'm God
both. Exactly. So if you remove these two things, as a scientist, I'm telling you there would be no facade on this earth. Animals will only eat other animals for reasons of survival. And that wouldn't be a wrong thing because we have a chain, a food chain. So now the human being has been put on top of the food chain because we can kill anything we want.
Yeah.
And that's where facade comes from. Mm. So what does Islam say about the introduction of these two things into the species that were ruling the earth at the time?
Well, it's very difficult to say what does Islam says about it, but the traditions talk about the production of corruption by those jinn or human-like, who had intelligence, as you said, who had free will. Otherwise, why should God destroy them or object if they didn't have free will? However, about Darwin, you know, we have to be very careful when we talk about this evolution issue, because Darwin actually put forward that theory in the hope that in the future evidence would be found about it. What evidence has been found up till now is just adaptation of different species to their environment. Adaptation. For example, as we have about these birds, about their beaks, for example, some of the beaks are longer, some are shorter, or certain organs, for example, in species are would disappear or come about. This adaptation of one species to its environment. Now, Darwin wanted to say that this adaptation actually goes beyond that, and the species would evolve to other species. He could not find any evidence for it, and he has written in his book that I hope, and I'm quite certain, that in future evidence would be found about it. And up till now, no evidence is found about this, so we have to wait. I don't think we have to rush about Darwin's theory of evolution to say that.
Thank you. Sisters? Any brothers?
Yeah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Just a quick question. About this asma, I don't know if you, I don't think I actually went into it, but the fact that the angels say you didn't teach me and Adam knew or whatever, so obviously he told Adam about the asma. So would it be fair for him to say to the angel, look, you don't know it, and they said, well, yeah, you didn't teach us. So I mean, I find that a bit puzzling.
No, the angels never say you didn't teach us. Next week, inshallah, we talk about the asma. No, the angels are not human beings demanding things from God, you know. They just taught that they have a sort of station in creation that they could represent God. Now God tells them that you cannot because you don't know the asma. Now there's one reason I haven't taught you the asma, because you cannot, your creation is not in a way that you can receive it. Inna aradna al-amanata ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan. The heavens, the earth, the mountains, they could not take this. It was human being. Now, the angels didn't know about this feature of man, of Adam. Allah informs them. They don't say, why you didn't give it to us? Because they never, of course, ask Allah in such a way. Allah knows what to give to who. And angels know this much better than us, that Allah knows what to give to who. However, they were just thinking that Adam, without the knowledge of Asma, does not deserve that khilafah. They deserve it better. Allah just informed them that, no, I will tell you something. Now, you may say, after Adam informed them of those asma, did they not learn the asma to become... We discuss this next week. This is much more complicated than the simple sort of thing.
Thank you. Any sisters before we go back to brothers? Any sisters? No, Dr. Yeah, switch on. Press the top one.
Can you please comment on one of the views I heard from a Lebanese speaker, that there is more than one Adam alayhi salam created?
we have in traditions, again, with the style of Sheikh Tusi, Rawiya, it is said, it is reported that before Adam, there were Adams, and before Adam, someone asked Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that what was before Adam, who was living on the earth before Adam, and he said, another Adam, and the, of course, Adam with the descendants. And then he asked, before them, he said, another Adam. And so he said, if you ask me forever, I tell you forever that another Adam. In one tradition, says for 50, there were 50 Adams before this Adam, with all their progeny coming, living until the end of their time and going. These traditions are more acceptable to Ismaili views of creation, the cosmology of Ismailis who believe that things are moving a cycle and the world actually repeats itself after certain stages. These traditions that we have, if they are correct, the only thing it tells us that what we know about the earth and creation and such things is so limited, that we are just scratching the surface. We don't know really about the history of the earth, what has happened on it, who has come, who has gone. We don't really know. It's just, now they say that, for example, about 100,000 years ago, they talk about Neanderthals and then coming Homo sapiens. This is 100,000 years ago. While if we want to go further, 1 million years ago, for example, 2 million years ago, or even more, 1 billion years ago, for example, what happened on there? We really don't know. So if these traditions are established, then we can say yes. Otherwise, we really don't know. Our knowledge is very limited about this earth, the history of the earth, and such things. Sometimes we are fooled by the type of science that we have, which goes back to several thousand years ago, and the speculations about the origin of universe, 13.8 billion years ago, the Big Bang, for example, that small thing which exploded out. But no one asked, what was that small thing? Where did it come from at all? How that small thing exploded into such a thing? Where was the space? Was there a space at all or not? Was the space created after that? You know, there are many, many questions. We don't know. Just better repeat what Angel says. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma'allamtana. We have no knowledge, but that's a small thing that you have taught us.
Well, anyway, they say that the oldest question, who created God? But nobody questions, as you said, that who created that original thing that,
yeah, that's right.
Exploded.
Where did it come from?
Yeah. Okay, I think that there was a similar question as I had heard was asked to Imam Ali alayhi salam, like the doctors mentioned it, and then the answer was there were Adams and Adams and Adams and so on.
Yeah, that's where, as I said, we have a tradition about that.
But this is from Imam Ali's side as well, is it?
No, when you say from Imam Ali or from Imam al-Baqir, you give it a big authority.
No, but that's what I
you
heard.
Have to say who has reported it from Imam Ali. You see, that's the important thing. Who has reported it from Imam Ali?
Fine.
Of course, if something is from Imam Ali or the Prophet or Imam Baqir, that's it. That's final. But we don't know who has reported it from them.
Okay, sisters, any? Brothers? Anybody? No? Shaykh Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Thank you, Shukran. So we continue next Sunday, inshallah.